We've mentioned Monitor Group before. They're a Massachusetts-based consulting firm founded by Harvard professors that had a multi-million-dollar contract with the Libyan government between 2006 and 2008. Monitor Group says they were helping Libya open up to a global economy, helping nudge a pariah back onto the world stage. Critics, including members of the Libyan opposition, say Monitor Group was Muammar Gaddafi's spin machine, that they paid big-name American academics to travel to Libya, that they then returned and wrote glowing op-ed pieces without disclosing that they were paid by a consulting firm that was paid by the Libyan government, that Monitor Group had, in effect, become a lobbying firm without registering as such. And more, Dartmouth professor Dirk Vanderwell tells the Boston Globe that Monitor's work made Gaddafi think he was democratic and reinforced his reluctance to come to terms with the reality around him. We haven't heard much response from Monitor Group, which is why we're very pleased today to spend a few minutes with Eamon Kelly, a partner at Monitor Group. He's also head of its Global Networks and Thought Leadership Initiatives. Eamon, welcome.
Thank you very much, Robin.
And as you well know, there's been some pretty damning stuff. For instance, Robert Putnam is a Harvard professor who was paid by your group to travel to Libya to talk about democracy. He wrote in the Washington Post after the recent uprisings that you paid his standard consulting fee, so he disclosed that. And he said he had hoped he'd, you know, swayed Gaddafi. But when he was invited back a second time, he concluded the whole exercise was a public relations stunt. Was this the Monitor Group perpetrating a PR stunt, mounting, as Mother Jones magazine puts it, on behalf of a brutal dictator, a campaign that snared prominent intellectuals hoping for the best for Libya?
Obviously, Robin, I'm aware of the criticisms that have been made in that respect, and I would like to point out that, first, this was a very different time than what we're seeing just now, and clearly Monitor Group deeply deplores the recent oppressive actions of Colonel Gaddafi, and we're deeply saddened at the current circumstances in the country. But when we worked in Libya during the period that you mentioned, the context was extremely different. This was a period of promise. Colonel Gaddafi had himself renounced terrorism, the country had abandoned WMD, and he seemed willing to pursue meaningful internal reform. The international policy of that time, led by the governments of the US and the UK in particular, as I'm sure you're aware, was to embrace that opportunity and to create a better future for the people of Libya and to make the world safer. And after decades of autocratic rule and global isolation, quite naturally, the country needed help. Its governance and its institutions were dysfunctional. Its economy was a mess. And it was providing very little prosperity or opportunity for the people. And those were challenges that we believed we could support Libya deal with.
But that's not what the documents show. The documents that were unearthed by some opposition groups, documents between the Monitor Group and the government of Libya. In one, the Monitor explained how they chose the academics they sent to Libya, the appeal of their ideas, but also the strength of their influence in guiding U.S. foreign policy. Now, law requires that a group register as a lobbying firm if that group is trying to influence U.S. policy. Were you trying to influence U.S. policy? Do you think you should have registered as a lobbying firm?
Well, we're very aware of that question, Robin. And the point I would like to make is that the visitor program that you're describing was one piece of the work that we undertook in Libya. It's an element of work that has come under some scrutiny, and we take that very seriously. Now, our hope was that by bringing in Western thought leaders that represented multiple perspectives and covered a range of expertise, we thought that was a prerequisite for informed and effective internal reform. But allegations have been made that we might have encouraged some of those experts to express their views on what they'd encountered in Libya. Now, those I've talked with strenuously deny that this was the case. But given the scale of the program, the number of people involved, and the seriousness with which we take these allegations, a month ago, we retained external legal counsel to help us with a comprehensive and intensive investigation of that work. We take this matter quite seriously, as I'm sure you can imagine, and we're determined to get to the bottom of it, find the facts, and take the appropriate measures upon its conclusion.
Well, it seems that there are two things here. One is just the appearances, how things look, transparency. Yes. People should know that when people write op-ed pieces, as you say, some of these academics might have said the same exact thing, but at least let people know that they're being paid by a consulting firm that's being paid by Libya to make their trips. It's the same criticism that's leveled at business school professors who comment on Wall Street, and meanwhile they're being paid as consultants. People you know, you're well aware of that criticism that you just want to know. But then the other question is, what exactly was the company trying to do? And you've said that you had this honest idea of perhaps trying to, in that time frame, as everybody was, trying to welcome this pariah in from the cold. But then people in your own organization began to smell a rat. Michael Porter, co-founder of the Monitor Group. In 2007, he traveled to Libya with many consultants. They unveiled a strategy for economic reforms. But Michael Porter says that when a person, a Libyan, opposed to those reforms, was put in charge of implementing them, he knew it was just a sham, and he quit. Why wasn't that a signal to the rest of the Monitor Group?
Well, as I say, we are reviewing these questions, and I can't speak for Mr. Porter's perspectives on this. We also, towards in the period of 2008, significantly ramped down our activities as we became decreasingly hopeful that our work would have the impact that we wanted. And remember that much of the work we were trying to do was working with a variety of people. One of our clients during that period, who was an important member of the Libyan leadership that we were serving, is Mr. Mahmoud Jibril, who has recently been appointed as the leader of the interim government in Benghazi. So we were working with a variety of people in the hope that we would be able to support the reform process and the modernization of the economy and the government.
We're talking about the Massachusetts-based international consulting firm Monitor Group. They were hired by the Libyan government in 2006 to help reform Libya's economy and, critics say, to polish up Colonel Gaddafi's image. The group also helped Gaddafi's son, Saif, write his dissertation for the London School of Economics on the topic of democracy, all leading a Boston Globe editorial to the conclusion that the firm put cash before conscience. Now, in the past, Monitor has said that they were just working for reform in Libya, but we're speaking with the group's Eamon Kelly. He's part of a new internal investigation into Monitor Group's association with Libya, so they do have questions. And Eamon, we've just heard your response to criticism that Monitor Group served as Gaddafi's spin machine. But worse than that, we want to ask if you think your group might have done harm. We recently spoke with Mohammed El-Jami. He's a Libyan-American. His brother, Fatih El-Jami, was a prominent dissident who was jailed for calling for democracy. Fatih eventually died. Human rights groups say that's because of his poor treatment in prison. Groups like Amnesty International and then-Senator Joe Biden were all concerned about him. And Mohammed, again, the brother and the Libyan-American, wrote an opinion piece in The Washington Post calling attention to Fatih's imprisonment. And Mohammed, the brother, says your group, Monitor Group, wasn't happy about that because that was published right around the time Monitor Group brought Gaddafi's son Saif to the U.S. on a high-profile visit. So first, let's listen.
When Mr. Gaddafi's son Saif came, the Monitor Group arranged a meeting with Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and the issue of my brother's case was raised. Mr. Saif answered in a lying light that he said that my brother's free to leave Libya. Well, the truth is my brother was being held and tortured. One person for the Monitor Group said to a people rights organization, he said that my article in the Washington Post was unhelpful. My activism is unhelpful. And I should consider seizing that. Maybe their intention was good, but let's test it. Have the Monitor Group try to contact me, for example, and just seek the truth? They haven't.
Eamon Kelly of the Monitor Group, your response. I mean, here's someone is saying that you tried to, you know, maybe silence them from speaking out about a brother's imprisonment and alleged torture while you were representing the client that's being accused of that torture, Libya.
Obviously, Robin, our hearts go out to the tragedies experienced by Mr. El-Jami and his family, and we certainly regret that absolutely that our work did not manage to prevent the continuation of atrocities in Libya. Now, I have no knowledge of the event that Mr. El-Jami describes. I would be dismayed if anybody from Monitor were discouraging people from speaking out. Our intentions were precisely the opposite. But if Mr. Ojami were to contact me, I would be delighted to learn from him his perceptions and his experience of what happened there as part of my investigation.
I guess the question is, why wouldn't the Monitor Group contact him? Here he is saying that he had written an op-ed piece, which I would think would catch the eye of the Monitor Group if, in fact, it's about a topic that, you know, you're working on, Libya. And you've got Gaddafi's son saying to human rights groups, no, this man in prison is free to leave. I would think somebody from the Monitor Group would want to contact that brother to say, hey, we're working in this area. What do you know about this?
Yeah, given what I've just learned from the interview you've just played to me, and as you know, Robin, I have not heard that before, I may well choose to contact Mr. Ojami for information regarding this.
Eamon Kelly, again, your group in the documents say that you want to enhance the profile of Libya and Muammar Gaddafi. You're also saying that you and other academics really sincerely hoped to be part of the process in which the U.S. and other countries were trying to moderate him. Do you think, by the way, that you're being unfairly picked on here? I mean, are there other consulting groups that do the same thing? And what are your thoughts about going forward, whether groups like yours should be registered as lobbying groups?
Clearly, if our external legal counsel advise us that we should have been registered, we will take all remedial measures that are required as a consequence of that. Of course, other consultants do similar work and worked in Libya. I think that we certainly now have an aggressive learning process in place to learn from this experience. We are very clear that we did try to use Western thought leaders to influence the thinking within a country and a leadership that had been isolated for literally decades. We are really genuinely investigating in quite an intensive way whether we did anything inappropriate in the other direction of trying to influence U.S. opinion. We don't know the answer to that yet.
Are you working with other countries in that region, Yemen, Jordan, Saudi Arabia? Are you working with any other countries?
We are a global company and we're working in countries everywhere. I am not aware at this point of other work being undertaken that would raise the same issues.
Do you think that the U.S. government knew what you were doing? I mean, is that another place where you feel maybe, wait a second, in one case, I think it was Richard Pearl or someone who took one of your trips to Libya and then came back and debriefed then Vice President Dick Cheney. So do you feel that maybe the government was aware of what you were doing?
Well, we were certainly working in terms of the policies of the government as we understood them, in terms of the U.S. government and the U.K. government and others were definitely keen to see a re-engagement with Libya. So we always felt that we were working in a manner that was consistent with U.S. government policies and aspirations.
But were you working with the government?
I'm not aware of any specific dialogue that took place between anybody at Monitor and the government. That will be also reviewed.
Eamon Kelly, a partner at the Monitor Group, which is based here in Massachusetts. It's an international group, and he is head of its global networks and thought leadership initiatives. He's part of an internal investigation at the Monitor Group into its relationship with Libya between 2006 and 2008. Eamon Kelly, thanks very much for speaking with us.
I appreciate the opportunity, Robin. Thank you.